Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for our message is our Old Testament reading from Amos chapter 7. In verse 15, Amos defends the authority of his preaching to the people, and he says, "Yahweh took me from following the flock, and Yahweh said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" This is our text. Know your enemy. Whatever the competition, whatever the challenge, whatever the difficulty it is that you face, it is crucial that you know your enemy. The sports team studies hours of films to learn their opponent's plays and to identify their strengths and weaknesses. A chess mate, a chess master, studies the games and other chess of the other chess master to know that opponent's tendencies and strategies. In the business world, companies study their competitors to keep the advantage, to be prepared for possible changes they may need to make. Yet in a much, much more serious matter, you and I, as the redeemed people of Yahweh, should know our ultimate enemy. In the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," we sing, "The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight." So, what are the aims? What are the goals of the old evil foe, the devil? The ruler of this world, as John says. What is his agenda? What are his strategies, his tactics? I can already tell you, pretending that he's not real or not a true threat is deadly. You must know your enemy. Certainly, the devil is happier the more violence, the more wickedness, the more chaos that he can create. But the center of what he's about is unbelief. He wants to keep unbelievers in unbelief, that is, dead in their sins. And he wants to entice and draw all believers, including everyone in this room, away from their Lord and Savior, away from the faith and the salvation that we already have, into his faith, into his false pleasures, into beliefs that lead only to eternal death and condemnation. But there is another competitor. What does the Holy Spirit want? The Holy Spirit wants to create and sustain faith in the hearts of all mankind. The Holy Spirit wants to tighten the bonds between you and your Savior, Jesus, to help you become a stronger, more mature Christian, to daily, weekly, yearly grow in Christ. And how does he do that? By means of the perfect, life-giving plumb line, the Word of God. And by his wisdom, the Holy Spirit has chosen not to work directly or without instruments. Instead, he works through the inspired Word of God, as it is recorded for us in Scripture, as it is proclaimed by his chosen and called mouthpieces in truth and purity. And we know there are two key components to this Word from God. First, through the law of God, he leads sinners to see their sin in contrition and repentance. And second, through God's promises fulfilled in Christ, that is his gospel, he creates and he sustains faith. He fills us with the joy of salvation. The devil or the Holy Spirit? These are the two options before every single soul on earth. In the days of Amos the prophet, and in our day still today. We live in the midst of a great competition, a spiritual battle where our very hearts, minds, and souls, friends, are on the line. So the devil's goal is to prevent us sinners from hearing God's law and gospel. He wants to keep you from hearing, from really listening, that is, from taking seriously what the Lord Almighty has to say. His agenda is really simple. Prevent you and others from ever hearing the life-giving truth of God in His Word. And how does the devil do that? Well, we have examples of his tactics all throughout Holy Scripture. One approach is to fill the world with umpteen false voices, fake truths, in order to drown out the true voice of God. Throughout the history of God's people in Israel, there were so many false, so many counterfeit prophets that they actually outnumbered the true prophets. These false prophets told sinners what they wanted to hear. And guess what? That made them very popular. So, when the people listened to these fake prophets, they were happy. Because, well, they were basically listening only to themselves. And this is still one of the devil's most favorite strategies today. Which voice are you listening to? Another of the devil's common tactics is to simply silence the proclaimers of God's saving word. Just forbid them from speaking. The prophet Isaiah, he was sawn in half and thrown away like garbage. The apostle Paul was beheaded. As we heard, also John the Baptist. Peter was crucified upside down. Many of the prophets and apostles were pursued and imprisoned. Elijah was constantly threatened. Both Jeremiah and Paul were often in prison. The life of one who faithfully proclaims God's word is often filled with opposition from those under the devil's deceptive spell. But as we know from the preserved writings of the prophets and apostles, God is the one that has the last laugh. He will not be silenced. This grand competition, this battle for souls, is front and center here in the word that we have from God in Amos today, in chapter 7. The year is 760 BC. The place is Bethel, only about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. When Solomon died, the northern 10 tribes of Israel seceded from the Union, you might say. But God, who made Israel His own covenant people, well, He's never okay with the devil's attempts to have that happen, to bring division among God's chosen people. And so God sent prophets like Elijah and Elisha to proclaim His word. And now He calls Amos to proclaim His truth in a place where the devil has been working hard. There in the north, instead of worshiping 10 miles away at the temple in Jerusalem, as they were supposed to, the people set up their own sanctuaries. One of those was here in Bethel. Amos' calling from God was very clear. Proclaim whatever I, the one true God, have to say. This is why we hear him say repeatedly, "Thus spoke Yahweh, the God of Israel." Or, as we see in verse 8, Yahweh said. It is through God's word that He works salvation and life. And so Amos' message is always, always some form of listen. Listen to what the Lord Almighty has to say. But the current spiritual authority at that false sanctuary in Bethel, he didn't want to hear it. Amaziah, the priest at Bethel, he complained to the king, Jeroboam, about Amos. Amaziah did the devil's work of spin doctoring God's word to make the people and the king happy. You know, it's always about making people happy, right? And as long as you make people happy, then your job as a priest or so-called prophet It's secure, no matter what the time or the age that you're living in. But Amos was sent to announce God's words of judgment against those rebellious people and their king of Israel. And so Amaziah twisted Amos's words to make it sound like a personal threat against the king. Verse 10, Amos has conspired against you, O King Jeroboam II. You see, he's making Amos out to be a political threat to the entire northern kingdom, a worldly threat now. And that's a very common tactic even today for God's opponents. That is, to reduce God's word against sin into some kind of worldly attack in the realm of politics or economics or the like. As an example, just a simple example, we hear proponents for abortion twist it from being the murder of babies into an attack on, quote, women's health care. Now it's a personal thing. Now it's a public thing, a worldly issue instead of spiritual. And it was with Amaziah that this churns God's word, that he turns God's word into something that is only a human message, only a human opinion of a human man, Amos, instead of a life-altering or life-giving word from Yahweh. This way, the devil leads people to discount, to trivialize, to ignore, to dismiss God's truth as nothing but human opinion. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And so in verse 12, Amaziah tries to pressure Amos to just get out of here. Leave. Go back home to the south. O seer, go. Flee away to the land of Judah, he said. The Hebrew literally says, flee to your advantage. Amaziah is telling Amos that his life is in danger if he stays and continues to speak for God as he is. And so he's pretending to be Amos's friend, even though he's the one conniving to turn the king against Amos. And then to add insult to injury, Amaziah tells Amos to just make his living back in Judah. Run away from the problem, in other words. Eat bread there and prophesy there. As if Amos were just another self-serving religious guru feathering his own nest as a prophet for hire, which is exactly what Amaziah was in Bethel. Well, how much of this competition between the devil's prophets and God's prophets do you and I face here today? Folks, nothing has changed. Only the methods by which the devil seeks to trick and deceive us. We hear things like, don't impose your religion on me. Keep your religion to yourself. Don't give me all that religious mumbo jumbo. Well, those statements, they actually do accurately assess all false religions. But they have no effect upon the authentic, never-changing Word of God. So where are you at right now today? Frankly, each one of us must ask the question. Do you want to hear the Word of God? Or do you find ways to discount and ignore and twist it? Do you dismiss it as irrelevant now or boring? I've got to sit down and listen to Pastor proclaim God's word again. I don't know how I'm going to do it in this heat. Do you have more important things to do with your time? Look, everyone's life is busy, so I guess that excuse doesn't fly. But what is your life busy with? You're swamped with daily duties and activities. So many voices always vying for your attention. On the TV, the computer, digital devices, over the radio. So many voices, so many dangers facing us and trying to convince us to listen, in the end, only to ourselves. This is the devil's plan. So know your enemy, folks. Your ultimate enemy. The old evil foe who wants to keep you from hearing the life-giving word of God himself. He is the one who tells us sinners to listen only to ourselves, to what keeps life easy, to what makes us happy. That's the devil. But God's call to Amos was not about easy or happy from a worldly perspective. That was Amaziah's life and lie. And it's the devil's lie to you and me today. Now the fact is, as God's proclaimer, my life, as God's ambassadors every day, your lives are in danger. Though Amaziah tried with the devil's tricks to silence and trivialize God's word of judgment and grace, he could not do it, could he? To this day, some 2,700 years later, you and I still have God's word recorded in Scripture, where we can read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word of Yahweh to and through his prophet Amos. Because God will not be silenced. He is the God who speaks, who does not hide himself in secrecy, who does not limit access to his will through deceptive things like divination or sorcery or astrology or witchcraft as the devil does. No. The true God, the Almighty Creator, he speaks throughout the Scriptures, beginning in Genesis 1:1 all the way through the book of Revelation, using what? Common human language. Why? So that he can be heard, so that he can be understood by every human soul in every time through all of history. Our God is not deceitful. He is open and transparent. He is a straight shooter that reveals his will and his ways in clear human language. And to convey his word into the souls of mankind, he raised up prophets, most often just common, ordinary people like Amos, who we're told was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. As Amos told Amaziah in verses 14 and 15, when he tried to send him away and silence him, quote, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son. In other words, look, that wasn't my idea, my life ambition as a ploy to just make money or gain power and influence people. God is the one who said, go, prophesy to my people Israel. You see, God is the one in charge of Amos, not Amos. Not any king. Not any false prophet. Not any group of people. And why was Yahweh so insistent that his word be proclaimed, even when it meant that his spokesman would be hunted, arrested, imprisoned, and even face death for it? I mean, why the bother? For just a bunch of ungrateful, unbelieving, self-centered souls. Well, it wasn't for Amos's benefit, or profit, or fame. It was for the sake of God's people, Israel. Those ungrateful, unbelieving, self-centered souls. Because through his word, God, the Holy Spirit, leads those sinners to contrition and repentance. That's why God called Amos. So that ancient Israel could turn away from their evil and turn back to the true saving God. Then and now, God's word of judgment and repentance does the same. It leads sinners away from their idols and their crooked ways. It uncovers the death that comes from those false beliefs. When false voices speak against God's word, it only confirms sinners in their sins. And the same thing happens when you and I listen only to ourselves. to what makes us happy or makes us feel important. Only the true Word of God leads sinners out of that, out of this endless cycle of sin and death. Only the promises given by God in His Word and through His faithful proclaimers are true and trustworthy, leading us beyond this world's happiness into deep, everlasting peace and forgiveness and salvation in the arms of our Lord. Well, so what came out of all of this? What happened to Amos and Amaziah? In short, ancient Israel rejected Amos and the other true prophets, bringing God's judgment upon themselves. The death sentence that Amos proclaimed came on Israel. Because what God says is truth. But that was not the end of the story. Through Amos, God also spoke a promise, didn't He? The promise that one day God would reverse His judgment. In Amos chapter 9, 11 through 15, God promised that He would raise up a new, a greater Davidic king and restore His people Israel. And as you and I know, He did just that in Jesus, didn't He? God's Son, and also God's new and greater prophet. But even as Jesus was rejected by sinners who wanted to listen to themselves, though He was the very truth of God in human flesh, even He was rejected. And for that, and for the sins of all mankind, Jesus was crucified. But He would not desert. He would not leave His people without a way to forgiveness and salvation and eternity in the arms of their Creator. And so He suffered in our place. He died for you. And now He lives. And He, right, we could say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And He reigns as the eternal victor over sin, death, and the devil. He, Jesus is the Word, the only Word of truth today and every day. So, my friends, if you want to listen to what the Lord God Almighty has to say, listen to Jesus. And listen to those whom Jesus sends to proclaim His Word and to administer His gifts according to His command. Through baptism, Jesus puts His name upon you with the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, and He sees that. And you belong to Him. And through His supper, He unites us with His life-giving body and blood. And with all true believers in Him, we are not just Mount Calvary Lutheran Church here. We are the people of God, saved by God, His Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood. And we are united in Him. These are the ways that we listen to what the Lord our God has to say. Are you listening today? Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.